Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Pennywise Podcast, the best pod around for personal finance. We're part of the Lee Enterprises Podcast Network and brought to you in partnership with WalletHub, the best personal finance app in the whole wide world. You can sign up for WalletHub to save money, improve your credit, and budget better. I'm your host, John Kiernan. I'm the managing editor at WalletHub, and I've been covering personal finance for a long time now. My goal is to help you manage your money better and have some fun in the process. It can be fun after all. And as always, be sure to let us know if you have any questions or if there's something you want us to cover. Today, we're talking about how to save money on groceries, something a lot of us have been struggling with for years now. But don't worry, I've got a guru. That's right, a supermarket guru who can basically grant your money-saving wishes. I might be blurring the lines a bit between genie and guru here, but I think you get the point. Anyway, before our guest joins us here in a moment, allow me to set the scene a little bit. Grocery prices are roughly 25% to 30% higher than pre-pandemic levels after the fastest surge in food inflation in over 40 years. U.S. food at home prices increased by 24% between January 2020 and January 2023 alone, and have continued rising since. Now, to be clear, the pace of increase has slowed sharply in the past couple of years, but prices haven't come down. They've just stopped rising as fast. In 2025, for example, grocery prices rose 2.4%, while food away from home costs rose about 4%. All in all, grocery prices grew at an average of about 2.5% per year from 2005 to 2025. That's a bummer, but the best credit cards for groceries can save you about 6% at the supermarket, plus hundreds in bonus rewards, so there's some reason for hope. And on that note, it's guru time. To help you stroll the aisles with confidence and leave the grocery store with more of your money, I'd like to welcome our guest, Phil Lempert, aka the Supermarket Guru. Phil is a longtime industry analyst, the former food trends editor for the Today Show, and author of books such as Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise. Thanks for joining us, Phil.
Thank you, John.
To start, can you just give us like a little bit of a background and how you became the Supermarket Guru? I know that's a kind of an interesting name that some of our listeners would like to know how it came about.
Sure. Well, I was actually born into the business. My grandfather had a dairy farm in Belleville, New Jersey. My father was a food manufacturer and a food broker, and I joined him. And then the first time I was on World News Tonight, Peter Jennings called me a supermarket guru. And I said, oh, that's kind of cool. And then the next day, talked to our attorney, and we trademarked it.
Nice. That is pretty cool. So just happened into it and it gave you a perfect name.
Exactly.
That's great. You didn't slip him any money ahead of time to drop that.
Nope.
Okay. It was purely organic.
Nor did I pay him a royalty for it.
Okay. I'm sure he was all right.
Yeah.
So that's really interesting that you had kind of that family background that got you into it. After kind of you got that moniker, kind of how did that kind of change the rest of your career, or were you going to be focusing on kind of supermarket trends anyway, that kind of thing?
I chose not to go into the manufacturing side of the business, and I always describe myself as the center of a triangle. Mm-hmm. And the points of the triangle represent consumers, retailers, you know, grocers, supermarkets, and the third one is consumer packaged goods companies, brands. And my job is to really understand what each of those points are doing and then communicate it to the other ones. So it's always been about editorial. It's always been about looking at the marketing analysis, the issues, the trends that are affecting the foods that we eat. Mm-hmm. And to be honest with you, these days with everything that's going on, it's more cumbersome and more difficult than ever before.
Oh yeah, I bet. It's really interesting. And based on all of your experience and all the marketing tricks and trends and stuff that you've seen, what would you say are kind of the tried and true best ways to save on groceries? And have, like you've mentioned a lot, it's much more difficult these days. Have those strategies changed at all over the years?
They haven't. The number one thing you want to do is you want to have a shopping list. What you want to do is before you go to the supermarket, take inventory of what's in your cupboard, what's in the refrigerator, what's in the freezer, because what surveys have shown us is that we tend to overbuy when we go into the store. We see a sale for 10 cans of corn, and we say, "Wow, I need corn." Then you get home and you realize that you have five cans of corn there that you didn't need. So number one, have a shopping list. Number two, don't waste food. 40% of all of our food in this country is wasted. So the best way to save money is stop wasting food. Make sure that you're buying, what you're going to consume. Don't overbuy. When you have to throw out that half a bag of lettuce, because you didn't use it, that's wasting money. Third is probably store brands. Store brands have really evolved terrifically over the past 10 years or so. Led by companies like Aldi and Trader Joe's and even Kroger. So what you want to do is look at that store brand. Every store brand has a money back guarantee. So if you don't like it, bring back the unused portion and you'll get a full refund. And
Interesting.
also keep in mind that store brands, what you want to do is you want to read the ingredients and the nutritional information and compare it to the national brand. And if it's identical, 99% of the time, that product is being made by that, big company, the brand that you like, or what the retailer's done is copied those specs exactly and then had somebody else make it. So there's really no downside to using store brands.
That's really interesting. I think a lot of people may not know about that kind of refund guarantee. And that applies to any product that's a store brand.
Yes, absolutely. And also what you want to do is you want to shop around the store. For example, cheese has what's called a standard of identity from the federal government. So, New York State sharp cheddar cheese, age 6 months, is New York State, cheddar cheese, age 6 months, regardless of what the brand is. And in the supermarket, you can buy cheese in three different places. You can buy it on that fancy cheese table, you could buy it in the deli, or you can buy, that really ugly packaging in the dairy case. Well, it's the same stuff. So, go to the dairy case for that, clear plastic packaging, and you'll save, 20, 30%.
Gotcha. Opting for kind of sliced products tends to be more expensive, right?
Absolutely. Keep in mind that, the manufacturer has added costs to slice that cheese. You're paying for that. Now it might be minimal, but you are paying for it, and you've got to understand that, buying a sliced product might be, less wasteful than buying a block of cheese and slicing it yourself, because, you don't have the proper equipment to slice it properly. And also in shopping around the store, if you're a seafood lover, you'd probably go to that seafood counter. And if you look carefully at those little signs by the species, most of them will say previously frozen. And when you think about how fish is caught, these huge boats go out for weeks at a time. They catch the fish, they clean the fish on the boat, they package the fish on the boat, and then they freeze it. Then it comes to shore and it goes to a distributor who defrosts it. Then it goes to the supermarket who then puts it on ice. So you're sort of like semi-freezing it again. If you just head to the frozen food case and buy frozen seafood, you're going to save about 40% and it's only been frozen once.
And for people who want fresh seafood, is it better to go to a different store that specializes in that, or?
Well, you have to read those labels carefully. There is some fresh fish. I mean, all shrimp is frozen, except if you're in New Orleans and catching it yourself. So you really have to look at those labels. There are some supermarkets that do have fresh fish, but they'll say it on that little sign.
Gotcha. And I spent a couple of summers slicing meat and cheese at a hoagie shop in New Jersey, so I know about that effort and there. Yeah, so that is a labor intensive job, I guess, but it's not too bad. I did it for the free cheesesteaks, just to be clear.
So I went to Drexel undergraduate. So are you a Pats or a Geno's?
I wouldn't turn either one down. I think I liked Jim's the best. I think it was a little more the style that I was used to. I spent the summers in Stone Harbor, New Jersey, in South New Jersey. And we had a cheesesteak place, and they kind of chopped it up a little more, I think, than Pat's and Gino's did, but they're all great. What about you? What's your favorite?
I'm a Pat steak person. I don't know why. It's probably the first one that I went to, and I've stuck with it. And and love that cheese whiz. What can I tell you?
I'm not a whiz guy, to be honest with you. I usually went with the, I guess, American cheese. But yeah, that's the classic. I mean, people obviously shouldn't be eating cheesesteaks for all of their meals. That would be one mistake that could hurt their health, at least, and probably their wallet. They're getting pretty expensive. What are some other mistakes that you see people making at the grocery store, kind of time and time again? You kind of put
Well,
your hand to your forehead and, oh my gosh.
I think that the number one problem that people have is they follow the path the supermarket has laid out for them. So, most supermarkets, you walk into the produce department, and there's a reason for that. It's colorful, it has great aromas, it puts you in a better mood. It's like aromatherapy. So my recommendation is don't go to the produce department first. Go to the center of the store with those unemotional boxes and bars and cans. That's where you should start your shopping trip. So again, you're not influenced by, again, all those colors and all those aromas. The other problem that most people have is they're not spending the time to shop properly. They're running in, running out, trying to fit in that shopping experience in between doing other things. Take your time when you're in the store. I know people don't necessarily want to do that, but if you do slow down a little bit, you're going to make better decisions. You're not just going to, buy what's on sale, whether or not you need it. And then the third point is never go shopping when you're hungry. If you go shopping when you're hungry, you're going to spend more.
Yeah, exactly. I've been there. I know people are looking for ways to save money all across their lives, particularly at the grocery store. What would you say to people who are thinking about joining a warehouse club like Costco or Sam's Club or BJ's or something like that?
It depends on the size of your family, for Sam's or Costco. Most of the time, what you're going to see is large sizes. And if you're a family of one or two or three, those sizes again might force you to waste food. Buying, a gallon of mayonnaise, for the average family is going to last a long time past its perishable date. If you have a large family, if you're buying for an office, yes, you can save money. Costco, in my opinion, has probably the best meat department of any store.
Interesting.
And again, if you're meat lovers, whether it's a cheesesteak or just barbecuing on the grill, Costco is a great place to buy meat. Now, BJ's is slightly different because BJ's has smaller sizes. So if there is a BJ's around you, that rule doesn't pertain. BJ's, you can save money and get the proper sizes.
That's interesting. I think a lot of people, myself included, kind of lump all those warehouse club type stores together, but definitely is interesting. You can kind of choose which one to go to based on your family size. Really helpful. And kind of while we're on this subject, what would you say about people who are thinking about getting groceries delivered? Is that a reasonable value these days? Does it help you because you can maybe plan it out a little more?
Keep in mind that no grocery store makes money on delivery. So what they're doing is they're trying to get us to order online and pick it up ourselves, which is a much better way for us and to save money. To your point, being able to plan your purchases, before you get to the store, that's great. That's a great way to save money. But if you're having it delivered, keep in mind that unless you're on an annual plan, and that costs, I think Instacart's up to about $129 a year now, something like that. Keep in mind that you have a delivery fee and you have to tip. So, I guess you don't have to tip, but it's nice to tip. So as a result, you're going to be spending more money.
Gotcha. That is very logical. It makes sense. I'm someone who I guess tends to be a little lazier, so some of those costs are worth it to me, especially if I can get something delivered while I'm working. But definitely, yeah, if you're looking to really cut costs, it's maybe a luxury you don't need at this point. And in obviously, everyone's been seeing gas prices going up with everything going on in the Middle East, and we've been concerned about inflation for a while anyway. What do you expect from grocery prices moving forward? Do you think they're going to get sucked up along with the gas prices? And should people be really kind of on alert about trying to save as much as possible, given that?
Absolutely. Keep in mind that it's not only about the price of fuel, which is the highest ever, transporting our foods from the manufacturer to a warehouse, warehouse to the store, that increases costs, but also fertilizer. The biggest problem that we've got with the war in Iran is nitrogen fertilizer, is urea. The price of all those are going through the roof. And that affects all the foods that we eat. It affects, farmers growing lettuce or wheat or corn. It affects, the rancher whose, price of ground beef is the highest that it's ever been. It's anticipated that it's going to get probably another 50 to 70 cents higher before the fall because of the war. And those inputs from fertilizer, we don't realize today. That's, 6 months from now. And unfortunately, at the start of the war, about 40% of farmers had not placed their orders on fertilizer yet.
Oh, that's
So
interesting.
they're paying a higher price, and that's going to come to the supermarket shelves in about 6 months. So I would say, just about all of our food is going to go up. Prior to the war, I was predicting that it's going to go up another 5% this year. I would say it's going to, reach, 10, at least 10% higher, as a result of the war. And we're also going to see some shortages.
That's a lot to look forward to. Is there anything that people can kind of stockpile in the meantime, given that you're saying some of these price hits will take effect in a few months, or is that all kind of organic things that you can't really stockpile as well?
Well, you can stockpile things that are shelf stable. You can stockpile, coffee and tea. Just make sure you're storing it properly. Don't put it in the refrigerator. I know a lot of people like to put, their coffee in a refrigerator, but when you think about how coffee is made, you add water to it, and the refrigerator has moisture to it. And humidity. So you don't want to do that, but you want to put it in a cool, dry place. Spices are probably going to go up. That you can stock up on. If you've got a big freezer, stock up on meat. The price of beef, ground beef and steaks is going to continue to go up. And especially as we're moving into the summer where a lot of people, barbecue, maybe it's time to go to Costco, get that big portion and then repack it into smaller portions and put it in your freezer. But make sure, you're using freezer bags. What I always do is I first wrap meat or poultry or beef in aluminum foil, then I put it in a freezer bag, and then I take a Sharpie and I date it. We have a tendency to think that once it's in a freezer, it lasts forever. Not true. It breaks down, whether it's on taste or texture. So my rule of thumb, is don't keep meats or poultry in a freezer for more than 6 months. So that's why I date it, so I know what to use in what order. So yeah, you can stockpile, but be smart about what you're stockpiling.
That's really interesting. I think that'll help a lot of people out there. They can get their meat ready for the summer barbecuing and spring and all that. So that's a
Exactly,
good
exactly.
point. And I guess with all that's going on, all you've talked about, and based on all your research you've done, do you think it is possible to eat healthy on a budget these days? I know a lot of people think that to minimize food costs as much as possible, you're going to end up eating a bunch of junk. Is it?
No, I mean, certain ultra-processed foods are less expensive and they're more filling. No, you can eat healthy on a budget. There's no question about that. Don't necessarily follow the back to the point that you made earlier about the cheesesteaks. I wouldn't necessarily follow, the new dietary guidelines where, we have our, secretary saying, beef is back, cook your French fries in beef tallow, eat butter. I mean, there's a lot of research out there to that says eating a low-fat diet is healthier. And it's all about portion size. That's probably the key to eating healthier. Eat lots of fruits and vegetables, nuts, limit your portion of protein to 4 to 5 ounces. Lots of salads, but don't, smother it in dressings. So yes, you can definitely eat healthy on a budget. And keep in mind that a lot of supermarkets now have registered dietitians on staff, and they can help you plan. Make an appointment with them. Usually there's no cost to it. Talk to them, tell them, what the foods are that you like, tell them what your weekly budget is, and have them help you put together a healthy eating plan.
Yeah, that would definitely be very helpful. I think too many people are listening to influencers and things like that about what they should eat. There are these free
Absolutely.
resources that can be very knowledgeable.
Exactly. And it's also custom made for you. Just because you see something, on the news or somebody makes a statement or an influencer, goes on a wacko diet, doesn't mean that it's right for you. Each of our bodies is different. Our metabolisms are different. As a result of that, you really want to, talk to a professional that can help you figure out what to eat. And also, by the way, we have this huge, protein craze, this obsession with protein, that now a lot of manufacturers are adding protein to just about anything. Snack foods, they're adding more protein to TV dinners and stuff. The average American does not have a protein deficiency, and in fact, we consume about twice as much protein as is recommended. To your point, on a lot of these influencers, just don't take their word, that this diet is the best diet for you. Talk to a dietitian or a nutritionist and find out what's right for you.
That's great advice. I hope more people will follow it. I think we'd all be better off.
Yep, I hear you.
Thank you so much for joining us. I think you gave everyone plenty to chew on, if you will. And hopefully they can take your advice and keep prices down and their budget looking healthy moving forward.
John, and thank you for getting the word out to everybody on how to save money and how to eat healthy.
Okay, I think that's about it for today. It's been a lot of fun learning a little bit more about money, food, and health with all of you. So let's do it again soon. Because if you're not penny wise, you might get stuck overpaying for burgers and fries. On and on and on. Thanks again to Lee Enterprises and WalletHub for helping put this all together. And thanks to you for listening.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
The sun's shining, birds are singing, and all feels right in the world.
Until the season changes, and suddenly you lose your motivation to get out of bed. In fact, 1 in 5 people experience some form of depression, no matter the season or time of year.
At the American Psychiatric Association Foundation, our vision is to build a mentally healthy nation for all, because we want you to live your best life and be your best you all year round.
Please visit mentallyhealthynation.org to learn more.